We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So I went to this workshop a few years ago in North Dallas. It was a workshop that was supposed to be on leadership and time management and all that stuff kind of wrapped together. And it was at this really nice hotel. So we walked into the conference room, and there's all these tables. You know how you've been to work. You know how that is. And up on the screen, the leader had put one simple question with instructions that we are to take time and answer the question. Here's the question. What would you say if you knew you were going to die and had a chance to sum up everything that was most important to you? That's an important question. Now, I'm going to be honest, because when I first saw it, walked into that workshop on leadership to be a better pastor, to be a better husband, to be a better dad, and all that, I thought, what in the world does that have to do with anything? And I didn't really take it serious, and I barely wrote anything, and that was my mistake. But Jill and I are on this binge of watching that horrible TV show, This Is Us. Anybody else watch that? Has anyone made it through without crying one episode? Seriously, who watches This Is Us? Has anyone gone 1 hour of watching it and not cried? There's no one that cold-hearted. Oops. Huh? You're not a crier? Oh, I just start weeping when the music comes on now because I just know. And in fact, I told Jill, I said, one time I just went one, and we almost made it last night. Like the first 40 minutes, I was like, okay, this is the one. Bam. Anyhow, because of that show, and if you haven't watched it, it is amazing. Amazing real life show. Anyhow, because of that show, I really began thinking again about that question. That if I had the chance to sum up everything that was really important to me, what would I say? And the reason why that is such an important question is because I think if you can write that down, what you would say, and then you leave that somewhere where you're going to see it, and you then live your life, the rest of your life, following those words, those values, that wisdom, those virtues, you're going to have a good life. And I think that's important. Well, there's this guy named Randy Posh. I don't know, anybody here Randy Posh? He was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University. He's a computer professor. And he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And at Carnegie Mellon University, they had a yearly tradition that if a professor is going to retire, they could give a last lecture. They would get the student body together, and that professor could give the last lecture of what was real important to him or her and his subject that he or she taught, okay? Well, Randy had found that he only had a couple months to live, and the president of the university invited Randy Posh to give the last lecture, his last lecture. They called it the journey rather than the last lecture, but that's what it was. And wanted Randy Posh to share with the students that which was most important to him. And what I love about the story is that he says later that he didn't do it for the kids and he didn't do it for the university. He did it for his three young children so that when he wasn't around, he could offer them guidance and wisdom that would carry him through their life. He died at 47, left three children and a wife. And this video, this became on YouTube and it became viral, and like millions of people have watched the last lecture. And it's a book. And if you don't sit and watch videos, I encourage you, go buy the book. It is a simple read, but it is powerful. It is worth the read. Here's some of the things that he said. He wanted his people to know. This is what it was. Brick walls are not there to keep us out, but to show us how badly we want something. And then the next one, I never found that anger made a situation better. So why get angry and bitter over having cancer? I don't choose the cards that are dealt me, but I do choose how I play them. This may be my favorite. It's not about achieving your dreams, but how you live your life. And if you live your life properly, dreams will come to you. Here's one that we may argue with. No one is pure evil. Be patient. The good side will emerge. There are some people who are still waiting for that good side to emerge. Don't complain, just work harder. And then one I think all of us should do. Keep a crayon in your pocket as a reminder of your childhood. Smell it occasionally so that you will never lose your childlike wonder for life. It's just amazing stuff that if you would just... So the question is, what would you say? If you had the opportunity to sum up, what would you want people to know? Now, the other services, I made them turn and share a sentence or so with each other, and I didn't go over too well. I got a lot of really bad looks, but what the heck? Take a moment and turn and share with each other, just real quick, what may be part of what you would say. Go ahead. Take a moment, just a moment. Okay, anybody have anyone share? Otherwise, I'm going to put someone on spot. Ready? Bill Adams shared one with me at 8 o'clock. Bill, would you share that again? Do you not remember? And I think you know what I would share because you hear it every week. I just think that's an exercise worth doing. Now, I am relatively sure that Jesus never went to a workshop. I am relatively sure that no one ever asked Jesus, look, Jesus, if you were about to die and you had the chance to sum up everything that was most important to you, what would you say? Would you please write it down in 1,500 words or less? Right? I don't think Jesus was ever, but I do know there was a Thursday night when Jesus was facing his own death that he knew was coming. And he had gathered his followers around, not just 12, like the painting show, but the room was packed, right? He had gathered them around, and he gave them the last lecture, his last lecture, of what was most important to him, of what he would want his followers to know and to remember. And this is what he said, chapter 15, verse 9. As a father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then verse 17, I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Now, the reason why that was so important to Jesus is because religion had messed it all up, right? What God spent the entire Hebrew scriptures wanting his people to know is how much God loved them and how they were to go and love others. Look, what Jesus said was nothing new. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the book of Leviticus. It's in the minor prophets. It's in the major prophets. God gave 10 commandments so that you would know to love God and to love one another. But the faith, the religion, messed it up. They took the 10 commandments and they added 612 laws of what it meant to follow the 10 commandments, and no one could do it. So then Jesus walked onto that scene. All these laws and these rules and so Jesus one time was asked, what's the most important? And Jesus said, look, you guys aren't smart enough to remember 612. You guys aren't smart enough sometimes to remember 10. So let me just make it easy. This is like the Cliff Note version, right? Right? He said, it's two. Love God. Love your neighbor. And if you can do those two, you got it. But then the people who were opposed to Jesus and the religion of the day, they started getting complicated again, and they started making up these things. Well, who's my neighbor, and can I love them on the Sabbath, and all this stuff. And Jesus, in his last lecture, said, I'm leaving, and you got to know this. And so Jesus went as simple as he could get. In fact, I think Jesus kept that, is the one who first came up with the whole kiss thing. Keep it simple. And I can't say the last word, because some kid will go home and say it to their parents, and they say, well, Marty said it in church, so okay. And then give you verse 12. And verse 12 simply says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And just in case anyone wondered what that looked like, he gave verse 13. And he said, no one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's it. Now, what we've done with that is we've complicated that. I mean, not us. The people who translated the Bible complicated that. Because, see, that's not really exactly what Jesus said. If you look in the original language, if you look in the Greek that John wrote in, what it said, the word for life, was the word suke. And suke doesn't really just mean, it's not like our life. Jesus wasn't asking us to die to show our love. He was talking in this Greek sense. Well, it could be interpreted as say something like to lay down or set aside your heart, or to lay down or set aside your mind, or to lay down or set aside your soul or your being. See, what Jesus and what we've done is we've used a cop-out and said, well, surely Jesus really didn't mean I'm supposed to die for you, right? I mean, surely that's not what Jesus was talking about. So I don't really have to follow. But the problem is exactly what Jesus was talking about. Because see, what Jesus could have said, probably a better translation would have been, there is no greater unconditional love than when someone gets their ego out of the way for another person. That's laying aside. That's setting aside your suke. When you get your ego out of the way, when you treat the other person as if they are actually better than you. I don't know about you preacher types. Sometimes when I'm trying to look at series and trying to come up with a sermon series, I like to go online, right, and look at different sermon series. And it amazes me. These preachers, they preach these 8-week series, right, on how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to be a better parent, how to be a better kid, how to be a better grandparent, how to be a better neighbor, how to be a better friend, how to be a better... And it's like, you don't have to have an 8-week series for that, right? Here's the secret. You want to be a better husband, better spouse, better wife, better grandma, grandfather, better grandkid, kid, employee, employer, friend, neighbor, whatever it is you want to be better at. You want to be better? You want to be a better follower of Jesus? It's just not that complicated. Are you ready? Greater love than when someone gets their ego out of the way. When someone says, that person is more important than me. You'll be a heck of a spouse next time you're in a fight. You'll be a great grandparent. You'll be a great kid. You'll be a follower of Jesus. See, that's what this series is about. This series is about, how do we get back to the very roots of what is most important? Strip away all the fluff that the religion has done to follow, what it means to follow Jesus. Strip that away and get down to the very root, the very core, the very heart. And we started with grace. And I told you, you can't even begin to walk this walk if you can't look in the mirror and honestly say and believe for you, not for me, but for you, that there is nothing you can do that will ever make God love you less, because that's grace. And if you don't buy into that, you can't buy into anything else. And then last week, Eddie preached on, as I was dying on the half marathon, by the way, never run a half marathon that you don't train for. Just saying, right? Don't do that. Eddie was preaching on gratitude. I was thankful I finished, right? And without dying and throwing up. It was really good. But because gratitude is so important, because it's just how we are to go through life, being thankful in all circumstances. Not thankful for all circumstances, but thankful in all circumstances. And then here's the root to simply love one another. You want to be radical in the sense of getting to the root, getting to the core, getting to the essence of what it means to follow Jesus? There it is. So I read this story, and it's true because I Googled it too, and a number of sources reported it. This pastor by the name of Pastor Juan Ortiz, he was serving this Pentecostal church in Ohio, and he struggled. He was preaching on this John 15 chapter, and he spent all week really working on that sermon, hours, making sure that everything he said was what God would want him to say. And he sweated over it, and he struggled over it, and he prayed over it. And he Sunday morning came, and he just felt certain, because this is such an important message that he wanted his congregation to know. And he's sitting there, because he likes to sit up front, and he's sitting there, and he's kind of gathering his thoughts, getting ready to preach, right? And this has happened, I think, to just about every preacher, this conversation inside your head, right? At least it goes in my head. But you're about to preach, right? And you hear a voice, Juan, and he heard this voice, Juan, and he knew it was God, and so he just answered in his head, yes, Lord. And the voice said, how many times have you preached this passage to your congregation? And he thought, well, at least a dozen. So now he's standing at the pulpit. And the voice inside his head says this. Has it done any good? And he looked out over his congregation, and he says that he saw a congregation that knew the words but were struggling to live it. So he scratched what he was going to preach, and he stood at the pulpit, and he simply said, love one another. And then he sat down. Right? So people are kind of a little uneasy, right? They don't know what to do. So he gets that sense, and so he stands up again, walks to the pulpit, and again, he just looks out, and he says, love one another. And then he sits down. Well, at this point, people are really uncomfortable because they thought he has lost his mind, and they start looking at each other, questioning, like, what's going on, shrugging shoulders, using all of this, like, what is going on? And what seemed like eternity, right, he stands up again, and he holds on to the pulpit, and he says, love one another. And then he sat down. And by that point, somebody over there stood up and said, I think I know what Pastor Ortiz was trying to say. And he looked at a family and says, he's trying to say that I'm supposed to love you, but I don't even know your name. And this guy got up and he walked over to this family, introduced himself. And then on the other side of the church, some guy stood up and said, I think I know what Pastor Ortiz is trying to say. He's trying to say, I'm supposed to forgive Carlos over there, but he hurt me. And that man walked over to Carlos and forgave him, and they hugged and they reconciled. There was a couple there visiting. They were there with their kid and their little daughter, and she was there in town for the medical for some tests, and they were struggling with how they're even going to get home. And this is a godsend. And someone asked, what can I do to love you? And they told, and somebody paid their bus ticket home. And these stories, if you read the stories, just go over on and on and on again of how this little Pentecostal church in Mentor, Ohio was never the same again because they finally understood. They finally got it, and they became radical followers of Jesus, and they went back to that which was most important to Jesus, the thing that he stressed at his last lecture, and lives were changed. So, love one another. Would you receive this benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do. Nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.